Let me express my sincere appreciation for the opportunity of being with you tonight. It's always a pleasure to spend some time in the study of God's Word. And we're continuing our series of lessons on the conversions found in the book of Acts. Tonight we want to consider the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And you will find that recorded in the 9th chapter, the 22nd chapter, and the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 9, we're familiar with the fact that there, Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus, and a great light shined out from above, and the Lord spoke to him on that occasion. Saul of Tarsus was a man of, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a great leader among the Pharisees. Some think he may have been high priest one day. Could have been the high priest one day. But Saul persecuted the church. He, and as I like to say sometimes, he didn't discriminate. He went against both men and women and children. And he dealt very harshly. He stood by and held the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death. I don't know of any more cruel way of dying than to be stoned to death. Stephen was stoned, and Paul stood by and watched it occur. Here in chapter 9, we find, that was in chapter 7. Chapter 9, we find, beginning at verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to go to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of that way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near unto Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. I'll never forget hearing a preacher one time saying that when Saul of Tarsus fell off his donkey, he was saved before he hit the ground. Well, I don't find that in the Bible. I don't find him riding a donkey. I don't know what he was riding. He was riding something. Or he was walking one. He fell, though. The Bible says that. We're going to leave it like that. But anyway, he fell to the earth. And heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Don't you know that Saul was greatly surprised to find out that the one who was speaking to him is the one he had persecuted so. Not really in person, but he persecuted Christians who were followers of Christ. And when you persecute Christians, you persecute the Christ. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? said, I am Jesus and thou persecutest, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Well, that was something that really shook him to the core. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now notice that verse. Arise and go into the city, and it will be told thee what thou must do. The Lord didn't tell him what to do right then. But he told him to go into the city, and there it would be told him what he must do. Well, we find as we go down a little bit further in Acts chapter 9, that verse 10, by the way, he goes into the city, and he's in that city for 3 days. Doesn't see anything. He didn't eat or drink. But in that city, there was a certain man, a certain disciple named Ananias. And the Lord appeared to him in a vision. He called him Ananias, and Ananias responded and said, Lord, here I am. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire of, in the house of justice, Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Now, look at this. Here is a man who had persecuted Christians even to the point of killing them. And the Lord appears to him on the road and tells him, go into the city, and there would be told him what he must do. Keep that all in your mind. Well, he goes in that city. And Ananias is told to go speak to Saul. You know, I don't know about you, but I might have been a little bit anxious or afraid if I'd been Ananias to go and talk to that man. I might have been afraid of what he would do to me. In fact, we find Ananias was. Look at verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. That's another thing, another lesson right there. He had done a lot of evil, a lot of mischief, a lot of hurt and harm. But the Lord had a plan for him. Any of us have done some things we are ashamed of? Have we ever done hurt and harm to others? Later, Paul, after he'd become a Christian, would thank God many times that the Lord had given him the opportunity to hear and obey the gospel. And friends, we ought to be just like that. You know, there's none that's righteous, no, not one. We're all in the need of the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of Christ. Well, the Lord told, and now you keep on and you go. And you talk to him. I have plans for Paul. I have plans for Saul, who had become Paul. Well, to his credit, Ananias got up and went his way, verse 17, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent thee, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scaled, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and he was baptized. Ananias comes to Saul. He restores his eyesight, and he tells him that God wants to use him. Saul was baptized immediately. Now, some of the questions that people often might ask about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, and one that we need to answer, and we will answer that as we continue on our study. When was Saul or Paul saved? I alluded a little bit to that earlier when I mentioned, in fact, I heard a man say one time, he saw that when Paul fell off that donkey, he was saved before he hit the ground. Oftentimes, people will say, Saul was, excuse me, I don't have any water up here tonight. It's when I don't have the water, it's when I start coughing. Anyway, brother's gonna get me some. Hold that thought right there in your mind. When was Saul saved? Was it on the road? No. Well, preacher, how do you know that's not the case? How do you know he wasn't saved on the road? Well, let's go a little bit further. You see, there are three accounts given of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And let me tell you something. You got to take it all together. Some of us, as I believe Brother Keeble said this, but it could have been someone else. Some of us are like we're going to Piggly Wiggly. And we look on the shelf and we pick this one or pick that one, but we leave the other. Some of us are like that with the Word of God. We take one verse or another verse. This is going to be what, this is my statement of faith. This is what I'm going to believe. But we leave the other off. And sometimes people do that today. Sometimes preachers do that. I've heard some preachers preach some sermons. I thought, ooh, that was good. But when it came to the plan of salvation, they left part of it off. Why? Because it didn't agree with their theology. But friends, as I said earlier in this meeting, we got to take it all. We can't pick and choose. And we got to do what it says. And you know, that goes with everything, not just salvation. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, forgive those that sin against you. I don't know. Hold on there. You're going too far, preacher. No, that's what the Lord said. And we better do it. Isn't that right? That's right. Well, I said, let's look a little more into the book of Acts. Let's go down there to the 22nd chapter. Here in the 22nd chapter, in the 9th chapter, Luke is describing what transpired. But in the 22nd chapter, Paul recounts his conversion. Paul himself is speaking, and he tells what happened. And he's before a large crowd of people. Acts 22, and we want to begin about verse 6. And we're going to go read down through verse 16. Here in verse 1, we find him speaking to the brethren. Men, brethren, and fathers, not to the Jews, really. Defending himself and telling them why he did what he did. Verse 6 says, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly, there shone about, there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou? Why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Go down to verse 10. Arise and go to Damascus, and there it shall be told thee all things which are appointed for thee to do. Well, he did that. Ananias comes and speaks to him. He says, He came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And Ananias tells him, The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Saul, the Lord has plans for you. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Well, we don't know all that was transpired in the discussion that Ananias had with Saul, as recorded here in the 9th chapter and now here in the 22nd chapter. But I want us to note in particular his conclusion. Notice what he says. And why tarriest thou? In other words, what are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Let's visit that for just a minute. Saul, you've heard the message. Evidently, Saul had changed his attitude somewhat about the Lord after the Lord appeared to him. Some evidence of repentance. We find him praying, but no one has ever been told to pray through for salvation. He spent 3 days, 3 nights, didn't eat or drink, but he prayed. And here comes Ananias and preaches to him about Jesus Christ and Christ's plans for him to go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel. And he says, what are you waiting on? You know, that's a question I've asked folks. What are you waiting on? When you know the truth, why do you wait? Why put off doing what you need to do? Well, Saul didn't do that. And I said, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? There's another answer to some questions people. At the beginning, one of the things we asked was Saul saved on the road to Damascus? Well, think about it. If he was, something was wrong. Why? He still had his sins. And Ananias said, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. He had to do it. It's just like when Peter said, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Oftentimes people will say, well, preacher, all you have to do is call on Jesus' name. Well, I agree with that. But when that phrase is used, calling on the name of the Lord, calling on the name of Jesus, calling on his name, it means more than just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. or Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. That calling on the name of the Lord is an action. It was in baptism that Saul of Tarsus called on the name of the Lord. Is that not clear? If it's not clear to you, I'd love to talk to you about it a little bit more. Because it's necessary. If he was saved back on the road to Damascus, something is wrong, because he's told to rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul's sins were washed away when he obeyed the gospel. And it's when he obeyed the gospel that he was saved from his sins. Now let's turn our attention to one more passage of Scripture. Acts 26. Verses 12 through 18. Acts 26, verses 12 through 18. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are manifest the faith that's in Jesus Christ. That's in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Saul went forth from that point and that point on, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus was a man that was the chief persecutor of the early church. But his conversion demonstrates to us the power of the gospel to change the hearts and the lives and the actions of men. Here is a man that gave it all up when he heard the truth. He gave it all up. He gave up his heritage in the Jewish race to become a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find here a powerful testimony to the resurrection of Jesus. And also more evidence concerning the nature of conversions as found in the book of Acts. I hope this lesson in some way, and I feel like I didn't really give it what I needed to. I think I was kind of muddled. I think my blood sugar is kind of messed up on me. And sometimes when it gets that way, I get kind of slow of mouth and slow of thinking. But I hope in some way we will see the importance of following the commands of the Lord. No, Saul of Tarsus was not saved on the road to Damascus. Saul of Tarsus was saved when he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he got up and he was baptized and called upon the name of the Lord, Saul was saved. But you know what? Saul kept on. And kept on. And kept on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He suffered persecution himself.
Yes.
He was beaten. He was left for dead. He was scourged. He was not shipwrecked. Thrown in jail, thrown in prison. But it didn't stop him. He kept on. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And what? Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. Saul of Tarsus, whom we might have thought would never change, changed. And he lived faithful to the very end. What about you? You remember it said back there that Saul had done much evil. What about you? Are you guilty? Now, I'm not throwing any arrows at anybody tonight. I'm just asking a question. Do you need to be saved like Saul? I've had people tell me, oh, preacher, I'm just too bad. Well, you may be bad, but you're not that bad. If you'll change. If you'll come back to God, if you'll obey the gospel. What must I do to be saved? We've concentrated on baptism, and folks, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. Baptism is just not all of it. That's a part of it. You've got to believe. Sincerely, truly. Heartfelt belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, based on the evidence. You've got to repent. Luke 13:3, or you'll perish. You're to confess with the mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then you're baptized. You're saved. That puts you into Christ, but you got to stay saved. You know, nothing worse than something that you have saved, like my grandmother used to do, with canned tomatoes and corn and other vegetables. But if something got into it, what would it do to it? It'd ruin it, it'd spoil it, and wouldn't be fit to eat. Sometimes the world gets in us and what? We're not fit for the kingdom. So you need to stay saved all the way to the end. Y'all have been very kind. You have been very attentive. And I'm thankful for that. And I hope you will take this lesson in the way it was meant. I'm trying to encourage people to obey the gospel and to be faithful to their Lord all the way through. Our good brother's going to lead us in Psalm 52.